Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, February the 28th, 2020, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 7, page 93, in Working with Others, starting with the third paragraph, beginning with, Your Prospect May Belong. And we're going to read this one paragraph, and it ends with common to most denominations. So we'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, I believe Julie E.B., Kim T. for the 12 Traditions. Readers of our text are K.P., Janice B.M., and Julie E.B. Our newcomer greeter today is Ramona A., and Don B. will do our announcements, and Lynn F. is recording us today. Thanks, everybody. So the share ID for yesterday, Thursday, February the 27th, 2020, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,187. That's 14187. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, February 28th, 2020, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14189. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Julie E.B. to read our 12 steps. Julie, good morning.
Good morning. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Julie E.B., for stepping in. And now we'll hear from Kim T. for our OA 12 Traditions. Kim, good morning.
Good morning. All right, the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, TV, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim T. All right. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers, 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the person speaking should be muted. And that does include your mute button on your phone, so please don't use that and use the star 1 to mute and to unmute. That would be great. That way we have a nice quiet meeting. We'd appreciate that. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 93, the second paragraph, beginning with, your prospect may belong to a religious denomination, and it ends in common to most denominations. And KP, would you please start reading, please? Begin reading. Star 1 to unmute, KP.
Good morning.
Oh, there you are.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. Thanks, Kay. Go ahead.
This is KP from Malden, South Carolina. Your prospect may belong to a religious denomination. His religious education and training may be far superior to yours. In that case, he's going to wonder how you can add anything to what he already knows. But he will be curious to learn why his own convictions have not worked and why yours seem to work so well. He may be an example of the truth that faith alone is insufficient. To be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish, constructive action. Let him see that you are not there to instruct him in religion. Admit that he probably knows more about it than you do, but call his attention to the fact that however deep his faith and knowledge, he could not have applied it or he would not drink. Perhaps your story will help him see where he has failed to practice the very precepts that he knows so well. We represent no particular faith or denomination. We're dealing only with general principles common to most denominations. Well, there's a lot here that speaks to me, but I'm going to be short and not preach this morning. To be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. I've got that underlined, had it underlined for a long time, got a star by it. Back where I grew up in western Tennessee, farm country, we call that putting feet to your prayers. You prayed and you prayed and you did something about it. And that's what they're talking about here. We have to have a healthy prayer life, have to communicate with the God of our own understanding constantly. But that alone is not enough. If we don't get out there and do something, get out there and help ourselves, get out there and help our fellow man, our faith is of no substance if it's not backed up by works. Faith without works is dead. That comes from another great book. And we are dealing with only general principles common to most denominations. That's a good way to top this paragraph off, because we really don't care what faith you follow, what denomination, what religion. Doesn't matter. The bottom line is they all lead to the same destination, and you get there by the same way you put your faith to work. Thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing me to share. I will pass.
Thank you, for KP, for getting us started. So I'm just reminding everybody where we're at. We're in Chapter 7, Working with Others. We're on page 93, second paragraph, and it ends on top of page 94, beginning with, your prospect may belong to a religious denomination, and it ends with common to most denominations. Who would like to turn this paragraph?
Michelle.
John K.
Okay. I got Michelle. I got John K.
Lisa G.
Lisa G.
Irene B.
Is that Irene? I think I heard Irene B.
Tamara C.
Who was that, please?
Tamara C.
Is that Tamara?
Yes.
Okay, Tamara B.
Janice B.
Did you get Irene C? Irene B.
I did, Irene. And Janice, I'm going to put you on the top of the next round. So I have Michelle. I need the first initial of your last name. John K, Lisa G, Irene B, and Tamara. I didn't get the initial of your last name, Tamara. So let's go ahead and start with Michelle. And Michelle, what's the first initial of your last name, followed by John K? Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Michelle J from Arkansas. Good morning, all of you, and thank you, moderator, and all of you there. So in working with others, that term, the God of my understanding, has come up with several people, and I'm always trying to figure out how do I kind of unravel that for people. Well, so this morning, you know, in my lifetime, I have been a Catholic, a Methodist, a Baptist, an atheist, and now just a believer. What a journey. Ha! Huh. Okay, so this morning, an idea popped into my mind as an artist, how I could share that idea, that statement, and what it means to me, to other people. Well, I would share what the big book was saying like this. You know, it's the God of our understanding, not of our choosing. Now, let me switch lanes. If we walked into a gallery and we gazed upon a masterpiece, each of us could express in our own way our understanding of this masterpiece. But if we could spend time with the master, with the creator of this masterpiece, well, we could hear what the master creator thought about why they made it, or the purpose of it, the value, the meaning, how. Anyways, so by understanding what the piece is all about, being us, and then allowing the creator to tell us all about it, it's God. It's we have a chance to have a personal journey with him, each and every one of us. And on this journey in the big book and through our lives, it's not something to be scared of. It's not something to proselytize or, you know, religiosity. Let's find a fun word with that one. But anyways, I just thought that would be a fun way to explain it to somebody, you know, that it's the God of our understanding, the creator, the master of our understanding, and talk about my little gallery experience and how that could work. And with that, I'll pass.
So, Jay, John K., you're up, followed by Lisa G. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry. This is John K., compulsive eater in where am I? Los Angeles. you know, I love this section and trying to talk to newcomers. You know, I believe, I always say God, I think 12 steps was like God's gift to the 20th century. You know, it was sort of the rowboat sent down to help us, you know, like row to the shore recovery, to use the expression. And what I like to tell people, you know, a lot of times is, look, I, in my time in program, I have known and am friends with priests, ministers, rabbis, nuns, cantors, all in OA. And if it was simply a matter of a conscious contact with a higher power alone, they wouldn't have needed to come here, you know. But, you know, they need to do the same thing as to get in that rowboat, you know, and to use that gift that was given. And I tell sponsees that, you know, if especially if they're having trouble with a higher power, that you don't the 12 steps needs faith, but the main thing it needs faith in is faith in the program, you know, because you're told to do a lot of things you don't understand and you won't understand until you're done with them. So, but it's faith in the program. And I said, look, you know, if you don't have a really well-formed idea of a higher power, it's okay. I personally believe that this rowboat has a thread up to some kind of higher power, but if you don't, that's fine. Cut the thread. Just believe in the rowboat, you know? And to believe in the rowboat really doesn't take a lot of faith. You can just look around these rooms and see lots and lots of people, smart people, educated people, who could not do anything about their problem until they came here. And, I mean, over the years, I have come to see the idea and change my idea of a higher power. I think we all come in with that hand-me-down God. And I needed to see that because I needed, you know, a God that will help me with my problems. And I think that's a lot of us. Most of us have that situation. I think that's why the chapter's called We Agnostics, not To the Agnostics or To, you know, Agnostics. And because it's saying, hey, we're right in the same position you were in. And the idea of talking to a higher power about this food problem, I was like, oh, my God, I can't. That's so stupid. You know, because somewhere in my head it was like, well, if God helps me with my food problem, he's not going to be able to take care of stopping some war over there. And it's like, no, it's so dumb. You know, I'm a multitasker, can't I believe? Like, God is like the ultimate multitasker. And so I just like to say, you know, I came into my first 12-step program. I used to say I came in as an atheist. I realized now I was actually an agnostic, you know, because an atheist says there absolutely is no God. And whenever I meet somebody who says that, I say, okay, I have one question for you. And the question is, how can you prove that? And the answer can't be prove there was a God. We'll deal with is a God. We'll talk about that one later. And for me today, you know, I believe in a higher power. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it isn't true. That's where faith has to come in. But you know what? If it isn't true, and all, you know, and there isn't anyone at the end, but my faith in a higher power has led me to a calmer, more peaceful life, well, oh well, you know, darn. So anyway, with that, I think I'll pass.
Thanks. All right. Lisa G., you're up, followed by Irene B. Good morning, Lisa G.
Hey, Sherry. This is Lisa G. from Dripping Springs, Texas, recovering. And I hope I make any sense about what I'm about to say, because it really hit me in a lot of ways. I also underlined he may be an example of the truth that faith alone is insufficient. To be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish construction action. Before program, I wrote, I mean, I can go back and look in my journals. God, please help me stop eating. God, please help me stop eating. God, please, I can't, you know, just like crying out to God. But, you know, kept doing the same thing every day. And that's why I was insane. And, you know, hating myself. And there's no way I could have helped anybody else at that point. I couldn't help myself because I wasn't willing to do anything different, but I didn't know to do anything different. And that's the cool thing John just said about, you know, kind of you don't know what you don't know, is what I'm sort of paraphrasing. And one time my husband told me, you can't tell a blind person what red looks like because there's no point of reference. And it's the same way with this program. You know, I had a faith, but my faith wasn't getting me anywhere because I wasn't willing to do the work, but I didn't know what the work was. And so the other thing on this one paragraph down a little bit where it says, fail to practice the very precepts he knows so well. I mean, we're taught in church, synagogue, whatever, you know, about God, but we're not taught what we're supposed to be doing. At least I wasn't. And then going on to like trying to pass this on to somebody else, I had a sponsee years ago, and we had very, very, very different faith backgrounds. And I really screwed that up because I was kind of grossed out by her faith background. And I never actually said it in words like, you know, you're an idiot to believe that. That's crazy. That's insanity. But I know it came across in my personality towards her. And we split up. And, you know, I regret that. I really do, because I could have helped her and I didn't because of my own prejudices about religion. So I don't know if any of that makes any sense, but that's all I've got. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Lisa G. Irene B., you're up, followed by Tamara, and we'll get the first initial of your last name. Irene,
I'm sorry, would you mind telling us what we read this morning?
Sure. We're on page 93, the second paragraph, starting with your prospect may belong to a religious denomination. It finishes on page 94, common to most denominations. All right. Irene, are you there?
I am.
Oh,
I am. Good.
Good
morning.
Good
morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., a gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Oh, my gosh. I love this paragraph. It's speaking so many things to me. I don't know where to begin. So I will begin with my own personal story. You know, I was afraid of God. I was terrified of God. God, I wanted him in my life, but he didn't want me. That was for me as a child. And as an adult, I tried to seek God with my intellectual being. And someone years ago told me that I needed to be honest with God and tell him how I really felt. Well, I'm so disconnected from self that I did not know how I felt because intellectually God had done miraculous, wonderful things for me. So I thought that my relationship with God was solid. As it turns out, it wasn't. And I had to search and dig consciously and purposely. What do I believe? And then in another program, I learned that whatever happened to you as a child has a very strong bearing on what goes on with you in present day life. So with that knowledge and setting everything I knew aside, I started digging. What do I really feel? And it took me months and lots of time with wisdom from deeply spiritual people to finally get to the bottom of it. And the bottom of it was that I thought that God had abandoned me. He was cruel. He was unforgiving. I mean, my perception of God was really messed up. From a part of me, the child part of me, believed that. So I had to face that and process that and understand that God had been there for me all along. That's one aspect of this paragraph. Another aspect that speaks to me is that children come to this world without a manual. And it occurs to me that this big book is a really beautiful manual that works hand in hand with other manuals that we know of traditionally that are difficult to understand. And for that, I'm very grateful. But the sentence that jumped at me in this paragraph was that to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. Well, here comes another deception. I didn't think I was selfish. I was a victim, poor, pitiful me, right? You know, I'm not selfish. I'm just trying to not hurt so much. I'm just trying to alleviate my pain. And another discovery is that it is selfish and self-centered to be so focused on my own pain. I will just finish by saying that a way to help my own pain is to help others. And that has been a concept that has been very difficult to understand because of my background, and I resent it. But that's where the answer is. And with that, I pass. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Thank you, Irene B. Tamara, you're up. But before we hear from Tamara, I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 93 of the second paragraph, ending on page 94, top of 94. Tamara, what's the first initial of your last name, please?
C as in cat.
C as in cat. Thanks, Tamara. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C, recovered in Central California. I like this paragraph a lot, and it reminds me of people that I love who have a strong faith but are struggling with their food and thinking, well, how can I be helpful? And the sentence that stands out to me is, perhaps your story will help him see where he has failed to practice the very precepts he knows so well. So I asked myself, well, what is my story? How could I be helpful? And my story is that I searched for God since I was a child. I believe that my higher power honored that earnest seeking and helped my understanding of my higher power evolve from starting out as believing in a scary God to later believing that God is love but couldn't love me and didn't love me, to later as a young adult believing, okay, God loved me but I needed to change before she could accept me, before I could be a delight to God, before God could be pleased with me, I needed to change. And in the meantime, I really truly sought to have a deep relationship with this God that I believed in, and I sought to have strong faith, and I prayed for stronger faith. And when I came to OA, my first sponsor really encouraged me to keep seeking and keep evolving my concept of God. And I did have a spiritual experience, and I came to believe that God's love for me is unconditional. But I didn't understand what it meant to live in 10, 11, and 12. I tried to do step 11 every day just by practicing prayer and meditation, and I believe that, again, my higher power honored that effort, and it did help me a lot. But I didn't take regular inventory as directed in the big book. I didn't know what to do with the buildup of fear, selfishness, and resentments. I didn't get that these things were blocking me from a real, real connection with my higher power that would give me a vital spiritual experience. And so now I'm so thankful for this meeting, for the big book, for the directions, for my current sponsor who helped guide me through the steps. And I'm because I'm living in 10, 11, and 12, I'm able to hold on to my faith and more easily get back to that faith in my higher power's unconditional love for me and for everyone else. And this practice of taking inventory and asking God to run the show and working with others gives me a growing freedom from that bondage to self. I'm getting relief from my ego. I'm getting more automatic where I'll turn to this new way of living and being in relationship with the people in my life that I love. And I'm just so grateful. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Tamara C. So who else would like to share on page 93, the second paragraph? I have Janice P.M.
Lomi Sonabi.
Janice.
I got you, Janice. You're the first one.
Okay.
Penny L.C.
Shlomi Sanabi.
I got you, Shlomi, huh?
Thank you.
Jean, who else would like to share?
Jean L.
Jean, like J-E-A-N?
Yes, L.
Got
like
it.
Like laugh.
Like laugh. I like that. Thank you, Jean L. And I can take two more.
Sure,
jump
sure.
In. The water's warm. Who else would like to share this morning? Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and we'll start with Janice PM. Janice, you'll be followed by Shlomi Hana B. Good morning, Janice. Can you hear me? Can I be heard? Hello? Can I be heard?
Yes.
Hey, yes, I could. I could hear
yes,
you,
yes,
of
sure
course.
You
but
can.
I was.
Yes.
Janice, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Janice. Go ahead.
Okay.
Please.
Of course
Thank
you can.
You.
Thank you much. Okay. My name is Janice PM, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. So we're gonna, you know, we're here helping, trying to help others, and they're new. So I'm going to keep it as simple as I can on the spiritual matters. First of all, they're going to tell me, which I have told them, that, oh, I have a God in my life because I know what they were getting at. And, oh, I go to church and I used to teach and all this knowledge that I have. And, you know, luckily my sponsor would listen. But now that I'm a sponsor, I listen and I compliment them. I say, well, you know what? Good for you. I'm glad that you have that and you have some beliefs. But, you know, like me, I had the illusions that, you know, all I had to do was be a good girl or go to pray. But I like to bring in what this program did for me, how it was vital to work with, to be self-sacrifice and tell them about, you know, the illusion of the food, the illusion that, you know, I'm a compulsive overeater, and I wanted to both enjoy and control my compulsive eating in certain foods. And the main problem that fills up in my mind, I wanted to tell them how, and maybe they can relate to me. Think about it. If I am enjoying my consumption and I'm controlling it, and if I am controlling it, am I enjoying it? Well, you know, maybe they think like that too. I'm going to try to fix this. I'm going to try to do this. You know, I'm going to ask my, you know, whatever power I have in my life to help me to do this. But then on the other side, I didn't practice the same principles that are in the churches, that are in the synagogues, that are in the different religions. I didn't practice the principles. Well, what's the principles? They all have the same standards. They all have the same standards. And those is that's the vital part that I have to practice. And this is what I tell them. I tell them my story, how I was and what happened and how I am now. Well, when I had all that knowledge about religion, I didn't practice being honest. I was the most dishonest person. I would cheat. I would lie. I would cry. You know, it wasn't, it was all, and I don't know of any religious denomination that doesn't teach that. So I was taught that, but I didn't practice that. I didn't practice hopelessness. I didn't practice hopefulness because I didn't have any hope, because every time I stopped 1,000 times, I always started again, and I didn't know I was powerless. So that's the real problem, and that's the solution, to be powerless and find the power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice PM. Shlomi Hana B., you're up, followed by Penny LC. Good morning, Shlomi Hana.
Good morning. Thank you so much to the moderator for your service. Thank you so much to the timekeeper and everybody on this meeting. Shlomi's going to be. And, you know, I'm looking at this first line, that your prospect may belong to a religious denomination. And then he's going to wonder how you can add anything to what he already knows. And, you know, I think that a lot of us come in with strong religious background or strong faith, and we think that we have the answers, and we think that we are in a good place with our faith, and that, you know, because we have the knowledge of our faith, and as we've been shown over and over and over and over again in the big book, it's not about self-knowledge. It's not about self-knowledge. It's not about knowledge of anything. You know, I had a sponsor once who said, you can never be too dumb to recover, but you can be too smart. And that's what comes to mind, because I think that a lot of us come in thinking that we have the answers and that we already know. And the truth is that we don't. Otherwise, we wouldn't be where we are. And later on in the paragraph, when it says that calls attention to the fact that however deep his faith and knowledge, he could not have applied it or he would not drink. And then to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish, destructive action. And, you know, as addicts, I can only speak for myself, but as an addict, I know that I really get involved in the self-will and in the self-centeredness of the disease. And that takes away any kind of vital spirituality that I could have because I'm serving myself. I'm not serving my higher power. And if we were truly, truly serving our higher power, we would truly, truly surrender, then we would be in a different place. We wouldn't be where we are. It's because we're not serving our higher power. No matter how much instructional knowledge we have of our religion, if we don't have that internal knowledge that God is everything or nothing, and that we make God everything, then we'll be in our disease. And there's no way that we can really serve God when we are in our disease because we're serving ourselves, we're serving the addiction. The addiction is taking over. So what's so beautiful about this program? Okay, thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Shalom Hannah B. Penny L.C., you're up, followed by Jean L. Good morning, Penny L.C.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And what I have written in the margins of my book is that religion, in this case, needs to be an outside issue. I need to be sure that when I'm talking to my prospect that I listen, but I reserve comment. Religion is really not the focus here. I think that for myself, I had to discover that my religious experiences were a matter of being taught some information. But I needed to go back and be able to learn for myself that information. This, for me, I understand the difference now between religion and spirituality. And when I can focus on my spiritual walk, then I'm more in line with what works for me and how I can connect with my higher power and who my higher power is. I think that each of us, as it says, we get to do the God of our understanding, get to discover who that is. It can be very different or very similar to what we've understood before coming to program. But I know that for me, it was an exploration process. I needed to learn and understand. And as a sponsor helping a newcomer, I can share my experience, strength, and hope with that process. But religion, I really need to leave out of it. I need to help the newcomer see that when it comes to faith without works, the action that's important to take right now is to work the 12 steps and to get in and get busy. Because if the way of life that we had been living before coming to program wasn't working, we need to learn a new way of life. And here it is outlined. It's worth a try from beginning to end. And I'm so grateful that there's the freedom that we have to explore it and have it be meaningful to us, each one of us, the way we discover it. And I'm grateful to have discovered a way that works for me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny L.C. Jean L., you're up, and then I'll take a couple more names. Jean, good morning.
Good morning. This is Jean L., recovering compulsive overeater, and thank you for everyone who shared, and thank you for your service who's ever contributed to the meeting. this paragraph for me, I like what was just shared about religion had to be taken out of it, but in a way that I respect the other person, because many people are more religiously trained than I am. And to keep it on why it worked for me, and let that person be able to decide without me pushing it, but just to share that the principles behind each of the steps and to go over those with each person. And for me, what worked in the book was that there was specific actions taught to me in the book that represented those principles. And if I am willing, willing to take those actions, then I have access to this higher power. However, the access, like the line says, won't give me recovery. I won't be able to access the power unless it's followed by accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. And that is also outlined in this chapter. The whole chapter is about demonstrating unselfish constructive action and self-sacrifice. I am to help others to remain well. And when I first came in, I was wanted to lose weight in order to do what I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to look good and go out with my will. And thank God the food brought me to my knees enough to say, help. And it's a whole different design for living. And with that person's religious faith, these principles don't have to conflict with that. The book itself, the big book, teaches me specific actions to demonstrate those principles. And in my experience, by doing these actions, I've been relieved of the compulsion to eat, and I'm able to help others, which I think is what my higher power wants me to do. With that, I'll pass.
No? Okay, so we have room for about two more people. If you guys like to share, you want to jump in? Anyone?
Janice K. Jody.
I'm sorry?
Janice K.
Janice K. And I heard another soft voice.
Jody E.
Hey, Jody. Okay. All right. So Janice K., please go ahead.
Okay. This addresses the line, he could not have applied it or he would not drink. My experience has been that of the strong believer who was troubled by food. I found a resolution to this. I worked my way through it slowly. I had a point at which I confronted the reality of some abuse and neglect in my life. And immediately after that came the pink cloud period when I was floating and everything was wonderful. At that point, my higher power whispered to me on three different times, but I had no hands. And it didn't make any sense to me at the moment. So then I moved through the pink cloud and hit the anger. Why did you let this happen to me? If you're so great, how come this happened? And I remembered, but I have no hands. This is the image. World War II, lots of bombing, lots of bomb damage to a lot of historic buildings. One of them was a cathedral. A GI went into the cathedral and he saw a statue of Jesus with the hands blown off. There was a sign under the statue, and the sign said, the only hands he has are yours. So that was how I resolved the existence of a kind and loving God in an imperfect world. We are the hands, the eyes, the ears, the voice of our higher power in our lives. And if we, all that is needed for evil to triumph is good men to do nothing. So that was how I resolved my issue. I hope that it may be of use to someone else. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Janice K. and Jody E., you're up. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Thanks, everyone, for your service this morning. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. I've appreciated everything I've heard this morning. This sentence, to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action, is a great reminder to me this morning that, you know, that's what I'm here for in all my affairs, not only in my disease of compulsive overeating, but in my community, in my neighborhood, in my family, in my nation, in my world. It's not all about me and what I think I need and what I think I want. What I thought I needed and wanted got me into my disease of compulsive overeating. I have turned my will and my life over to the care of God in step three. I clean house, I try to make amends, and then I pray for knowledge of God's will for my life and the power to carry that out. This is a tall order. This is giving up everything I thought I wanted and asking for God's will for my life. And God shows me every day there's plenty of need. All I have to do is go to a meeting or notice my neighbors who are very reclusive and, you know, reach out to people. There's plenty of work to be done. So thanks, everybody, for helping me remember this vital truth that I need to sacrifice myself with unselfish, constructive action every day. Every day is a day when I must carry the vision of God's will into all my activities. Thank you. I'll pass.
And thank you, Jody E. Would anybody else like to share? We could take the last couple of minutes. Anyone?
Michelle Y.
Go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. I am new to A Vision for You. I am 10 days abstinent and grateful. And what I heard from the reading, or what I see in the big book here, it says that the fact that however deep his faith and knowledge, he could not have applied it or he would not drink. And I'm feeling stuck. I have a higher power that I've been connected to. I had a spiritual awakening 4 years ago, and I do have a connection, but I feel like since I've been back in, I have a sponsor, I'm working through the doctor's opinion, I feel like I'm trying to think. I'm thinking God instead of feeling God, if that makes sense. And I think program too. I think I'm thinking about the program, and I'm not feeling it. And I have a history of being in and out of DOA rooms for decades and being really stuck in my head, living life between my ears. And I know that that is not the answer, that all my knowledge and even my connection with a higher power is not going to stop me from picking up again. For years being disconnected from my body, I wanted to be. I didn't want to feel my body. I was very disconnected from my body. So living in my head was good for me, and intellectualizing things and, you know, fixing things that way was the way I operated. And I haven't really done that so much the past 4 years, but I feel myself again slipping back to that. So I'm making calls per direction. I'm taking calls, I'm doing my readings, and I really feel like I'm stuck in my head. And so I'm praying, I just need to say that. It really strikes me, thinking God instead of feeling God. And I just, with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Michelle Y. And we've about out of time here. I'd like to thank Team Friday for the month of February. Lorraine N., Kim T., KP, Janice PM, Julie EB, Leah S., Ramona A., Don B., Reggie O., and Lynn S. And thank you all for your service, and I look forward to seeing you next month. And so with that, let's see. All right, so we're going to close. What a great meeting today, folks. Appreciate all your shares. And all right. So we'll now have Janice PM read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Janice?
Okay. Did we do the Serenity Prayer?
No, we do it after you do this. Thank you.
That's right. Okay, boy, I apologize. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep